Good morning. Thank you. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhagavan Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatya Desatayine Joya Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhupada Sri Advaita Ganadara Sivasari Gaudiya Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, following in the footsteps of the previous schedule, we will hear from the glorification of Srila Prabhupada by his devotees. Does anyone know where New Raja Kasha Desa is? Kasha? It's Kasha, it's China. Dolores and New Kasha.
Yeah, the song of the names of keep your head. China. China.
Middle East. Okay, so we hear from Kasha Desh. Kasha means what?
Congregation.
Congregation?
No, confidential.
Confrontational?
Confidential.
Yeah.
Yeah. Confidential.
Confidential. Oh. Oh. So it's confidential. I was thinking, I thought it was confrontational.
Either
or
special
kasa. Oh, okay. Kasa Desha. I thought it was some kind of grain you eat on a codice or something. Kasa or something. Okay. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pachayane Nirvishesha Sunyavani Pasyatya De Satarine. This is titled Mission Impossible. Our dear grandfather Srila Prabhupada, in the last part of the preface to Bhagavad Gita as it is, you speak of your mission. Quote, our Krishna conscious movement is teaching the whole world the central point to satisfy the senses of the Lord. In the last chapter of Gita, you stress this point again. One must become a devotee of Krishna, and the essence of all religion is to surrender unto Krishna. Sarva dharma pratikshetya mam ekam saranam vaja. The task of teaching the whole world to surrender unto Krishna seems impossible, full of insurmountable obstacles. Before you went to America, some of your godbrothers tried to preach in the Western countries, but none of them succeeded. They all said it was impossible to transform the Yavanas and Malechas into Vaishnavas. They were right. They were actually right. It is impossible. Because nobody in the Western world could follow the pure principles of Krishna consciousness. It's true, we can't. They're incorrect. But you did it. You accomplished the impossible task of transferring thousands of Yavanas and Malechas into Krishna devotees. Today, there are many wonderful ISKCON centers and blissful devotees all over the world. Here, in a place thousands of miles away from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and reading the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Dear grandfather, you not only accomplished a mission impossible on behalf of your Guru Maharaj, but also bestowed a potency like your own on the sincere followers, on your sincere followers. Simply by the mercy of your pure representatives, we have gotten the chance to learn how to obtain the perfection of human life, surrendering unto Krishna. And it is all by your mercy. When we think about your incredible achievements, we wonder how to carry on your legacy successfully, how to execute the impossible task you have left for us. Your task ahead is very huge. But it will be quite simple and easy if you simply do as I do. That's a quote from Srila Prabhupada. I'll read that again. Your task ahead is very huge, but it will be quite simple and easy if you simply do as I am doing. Letter to Vidyananda Goswami, July 9th, 1972. So we have to do what you have done. You preach Bhagavad Gita as it is. And what is the secret of your success? You yourself told us, quote, if I have any credit in this connection, it does not belong to me personally, but is due to my eternal spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivajakacharya, 108 Sri Sriman Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. That's from the preface of Bhagavad Gita. If we follow in your footsteps, our success is also guaranteed. The trick in accomplishing this impossible mission, then, is to get your mercy by following the instructions of our own Guru Maharajas. Before we surrender to Krishna, we have to willingly surrender ourselves to His devotees. You said that impossible is a word found in a fool's dictionary. Thus we are forced to accept your extraordinary mercy. Such is the ecstatic mood needed to execute our mission impossible. All glories to you, our dear grandfather. Devotees of Nuvraja Kashyadesh. One thought comes to my mind in regard to this. When this story was told to me by a very senior devotee, that there's one very, very wonderful disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta and godfather of Srila Prabhupada. His name was Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Have you heard of him? Amazing person, actually. He was always chanting the holy name, either kirtan, bhajan, or japa, all the time, 24 hours a day. And he was always laughing. He's so jolly. Laugh. He's just like an amazing personality. And he said to one, because it's referred here in this particular offering, that many of Prabhupada's godbrothers went to the West but failed. And he approached one godbrother who had gone and came back. And he said, you went to the West, and Bhaktivedanta also went to the West, and you are a great scholar of the Vedas. And he is also a great scholar of the Vedas. You failed, and he succeeded. Why? Pose that question to this very senior disciple. And then, of course, there was no response, because it was a challenge. And then Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj answered his own statement, because Bhaktivedanta had full faith in the holy name. Because he had full faith in the holy name. He knew that simply by spreading the holy name, all success would be there. Beautiful story. And that's important to understand, because Srila Prabhupada has given us many statements in this regard, that simply our faith and our regular chanting of the holy name will be the success of our Krishna consciousness. To do something for 1 year, 2 years, maybe easy, 5 years, but 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years every day. That's the test. The test is not so much the austerity, but the test is the austerity of what we say continuation, despite all the, what we say, the changes in our life. And if you have faith in the holy name, despite all these things, you'll see Krishna's mercy just comes through in such a powerful way. Because that's really the success of our movement. Because we say, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana. Practically everything evolves around glorifying Krishna in the form of his name. And Prabhupada knew that, and therefore he spread the holy name everywhere. And that was his success. That was his success. Any questions? Comments? Sounds good? Well, like we say, it's easy to do something, or it's even sometimes fun to do something, but to do something every day, and you know that this is really foundational. And at the same time, we should also understand that wherever there's great success, there's also great obstacles. So the illusionary energy, Maya, wants to somehow or other derail you from your determination. So where does she attack? The most place where it's the most effective. She'll always give you reasons why the holy name is not so important. Why you shouldn't chant your japa every day nicely. She'll give you so many reasons, and if you listen to any of them, then gradually you'll see your Krishna consciousness will become weakened. Maya means mercy. Mercy in the sense that she helps you to strengthen what needs to be strengthened by attacking you in the areas that are the most important. Right?
Yeah, the saying
is
that it doesn't kill you
and
make you stronger.
Right, exactly. That's the idea. By what's that saying I had was the this isn't the plot. Yeah, and the point is that the success that you have depends on your determination. Someone asked Prabhupada, he was at New Vrindavan one time. Prabhupada was talking, and someone said, Prabhupada, what happens if we have no determination? Prabhupada said, you're an animal. You're an animal. He said, an animal cannot be determined because you break a stick and it runs the other way. But a human being can be determined to fulfill their goal in life. And there are always so many obstacles. When you try for something in life that's worthy, there will always be obstacles. Always. Sometimes even from your people that love you, sometimes they're the biggest obstacles. So you have to see, what's really valuable. And so therefore, in this case, we're speaking about the essence of everything in terms of the practice of Krishna consciousness. Simply chant. And that's why Prabhupada would say, chant and be happy. Powerful statement. Powerful statement. It sounds very simplistic. Chant and be happy. Okay. But what does it mean? And there's actually a purport to that statement. Purport is that all the happiness you're looking for is found in the holy name. That's the purport. And the other half of the purport is, if you're looking for happiness somewhere else, you won't find it in the holy name. That's the real purport of that statement. So everything you're looking for is in Krishna's name. And if you're thinking you can find something outside of that, then the holy name will not reveal what it can possibly reveal to you. Right? Anyway, this is Mission Impossible. That's what's titled here. Any comments, questions?
No, yes, Mataji.
Yeah. The holy name is self-effulgent. Of course, the more you know the value of something, the more you treasure that, protect it, engage in it. In other words, knowledge of the value of something makes something even more valuable because you know what I mean. know, if you, somebody gives you gold and you don't know there's any value of it, you just leave it laying around. Somebody picks it up. Yeah, I'll give you an example of a value story. One man is walking along the street and he finds this huge lump of gold. Gold, oh gold, wow, rich. So he gold, takes his gold, goes to the forest, digs a hole, puts the gold in the hole, covers it up, and then he leaves. And then every day at the same time he comes back to that place. He digs up the hole, takes the gold out, says, oh, so valuable, so wonderful. Puts it back down the ground, covers it up again. This goes on every day. Finally, one man starts to observe his pattern, so he starts following him. So he's, and he comes and he starts watching, and he hides behind a bush. And the man is, and he sees, oh, this man's got some gold. So when he leaves, the first man, the other man, he digs it up, takes his gold, and puts a huge rock in his place and leaves. So the next day he comes, and he's doing the same thing. He digs it up, and he looks, and it's a rock instead of a gold. Oh no, my gold is gone. Someone stole my gold. And he's lamenting, he's crying. And some sage, he was also in the forest, and he was also seeing. So he comes along, he said, what's the problem? You don't have to do anything different. Every day you just come, just dig up the hole, look at the rock, and put it back and go. What's the difference, right? No difference. No need to worry. You can do the same thing you've been doing. So in other words, he had something valuable, but he didn't know how to use it. So the Lord has allowed us the mercy of the Holy Name. And we know that, we will use it. We'll take advantage of it, chant, and also give it to others. So, in the beginning we may not know the value, but if we accept the words of the scriptures and the words of the spiritual master, then we can appreciate the value of something. It's nice. So yes, even in the beginning. In fact, those who chant in the beginning, sometimes they get more bliss than those who've been chanting for years. Why is that? Did you ever notice that? When you first came to Krishna consciousness, you were just dancing and chanting and you were just like bliss, and then all of a sudden, what happened? The bliss went away. Yeah, it's explained that in the beginning, we just come like a new little kid it's like a little kid at Christmas time. Just enjoying, experiencing something very wonderful, very new. But after a while, you know what happens? We get familiar. And we get routine, we get mechanical, and we also get offensive. And then when those consciousness starts to come into our Krishna, in our life, and then we actually don't taste that sweetness anymore. Krishna withholds it. We start seeing things ordinary. We start seeing devotees ordinary. We start taking it for things for granted. And then what happens? We don't appreciate. And we lose our appreciation and gratitude for something. This great gift of Krishna consciousness. And gradually we also lose that bliss that we had at the beginning. Because that bliss is not as normal, it's natural. It's always there as soon as we wipe away all these misconceptions. Yes?
Could you explain the difference between chanting Hare Krishna in the kirtans and japa?
Japa, kirtan. Well, the principle is to chant the holy name and congregational glorification of the Lord. Harinam Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma. So that's more powerful when devotees together chanting the holy name. It's much more powerful. But japa, it's more or less quiet chanting of the holy name, is a type of meditation on the holy name. So both are equally, what we say, efficacious, powerful, effective. But and when you're in kirtan, there's so much spiritual energy there that it just immediately picks you up and pulls you in. Like that. But both are, I mean, there's, therefore Prabhupada writes, one should chant both kirtan and japa.
My question was for someone who begins the process, how to give the understanding that japa is a different process and has a different just chanting and beads.
No, not really. The instructions of the spiritual master are the success in our life. Therefore, Prabhupada has given the instructions, chant 16 rounds on beads. Simply by following that instruction, you become empowered to get the mercy of the name. You have to understand, a lot of these things we do are not somewhat individualistic in themselves. The power that comes from the practice comes from the mercy of practicing it and following the spiritual master's instructions. So when we chant 16 rounds as directed by the spiritual master, we're fulfilling his desire. When we fulfill his desire, we please him, we please Krishna. Krishna is pleased, and mercy is there. But the holy name is self-effulgent. It's Krishna in this form of sound. So both are necessary. Both are important. But there's something about kirtan that just immediately the ecstasies are there as soon as you come into kirtan. Singing with nice instruments, something you feel happy, you dance. Prabhupada said, you know what the process, you know what Krishna conscious, I'll tell you the whole easy process. You want to be Krishna conscious? Right now, I'll tell you the process. Just do these three things. Chant, kirtan, and then when you feel happy, dance. And if you feel a little tired, rest, take some prasadam, then begin kirtan again. And then when you get, then dance again, and then when you get a little tired, you sit down and rest and take some more prasadam, and then begin again. Just keep going, don't stop. And then you'll be back to Vaikuntha in no time. Yeah, it's the process. You see? But we just think, well, you know, there's 5 minutes of kirtan, 105 minutes of business. Anyway, that's the process. Harinam Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya has empowered this process. If you just do kirtan, you won't have any problems. Right? Kopohara, you know. Just do it. The more you do it, the more you'll see the ecstasy that's involved. You don't agree? You agree?
Yes.
Okay, I was looking at me like, maybe you don't agree. And we have so many other things to do in our life. But those things are, what we say, necessary. They're necessary. But what's important is this. Other things are necessary. So we shouldn't give the necessary the role of importance and the importance the role of necessary. Let's see the other way around. Okay, and anything else? Yes?
You mentioned the power of the contribution of Canada and Java. Is this a way for those who've lost their
kirtan?
Yeah,
it's the best way. We on New Year's we go. Sometimes we do Harinam, and we go downtown in Chicago. And those people are all drunk, right? They're all, you know, they got their bottles and they're doing their own dance. And we just go down here and say, hey, here comes Hare Krishna. So they go in, and this is a real party. They just jump into the kirtan saloon. You guys really know how to party. Yeah, it's the way. There's a group of kirtaniers in India. They have a certain style of dance where they dance with their hands on their hips. And in the defiant mood, they look down at the ground. And what they're doing, they're making an indication to the material energy, come, try and get me. In other words, the safest place in the world is in kirtan. Maya can't come in here. Safest place. It's in kirtan. Right? What do you do in kirtan? Sing and dance. Huh? Very well. You put all your energy into it. You're supposed to. Because not only we don't always do that, but that is Lord Chaitanya's special mercy. He's brought this Harinam Sankirtan. Goloka Prema Dana Harinam Sankirtan. That this is the activity of the residents of the spiritual world. That's what they do. They sing and dance. All singing, all speech is singing, all walking is dancing, and the constant sound is Krishna's feet. That's the activities of the spiritual world. Lord Nityananda demonstrated when he was at the house of Raghava Pandit. They began kirtan. Lord Chaitanya told him to leave Puri and go to Bengal, take his associates with him, and perform the Harinam Sankirtan in Navadvip. He told him, we're both here in Puri, and that's nice, but you should go to Navadvip and spread the Harinam Sankirtan. So now, and Lord Nityananda took the instructions of Lord Chaitanya upon his head and gathered his followers, and they left Puri, and they began kirtan on their way to Navadvipa. But what happened is they got so absorbed in the kirtan, they got lost. And then after about some time, they didn't realize, where are we? And then they asked someone, oh, hi, it's that way. Go that way. So they changed directions. And then after some time, again they got lost. Hi, 20 miles that way, follow the Ganga. So twice, because of absorption in kirtan, they lost their way. Finally they arrived at the house of Raghava Pandit on the outskirts of Navadvipa. And they stayed there. And then there's some beautiful stories, some beautiful pastimes. And finally they began kirtan. And Lord Nityananda began this amazing kirtan. Amazing. You can read it in Chaitanya Bhava. It's amazing. The devotees chanted and danced for 3 straight months. Nobody ate. Nobody did anything except kirtan. And the place was mad. It was mad. They were so mad. They were uprooting trees and dancing with trees, small trees, but still they were trees. And then on the big trees, they were climbing up the trees and dancing on the ends of the branches, right on the twigs. And because of there was so much spiritual power that the twigs were not even breaking. Yeah, it was a mad kirtan. And then some of them were really mad. They were just diving off the tree. One dived off the tree and said, I am Angada. They dove off the tree. Angada is a monkey soldier in Ram's army. And then what happened? The villagers in the area, they started to become affected by it. So the little kids from the village, they came out. And they started to dance. And they were dancing like for 1 month. Even the villagers. And they were picking up trees and dancing with it. It was mad kirtan. Went on for 3 full months. Of course, that's Lord Nityananda. But this was amazing pastime. You should read it in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Oh, it's an amazing story. But the point was, everyone lost all other sense of anything except the kirtan. There's so much ecstasy in kirtan. Even we can experience a little ecstasy in whatever kirtans we do, right? Imagine the kirtans of Lord Nityananda. people are falling unconscious. So this is Krishna consciousness. Rakeshbara Pandit, he danced for 72 hours straight. One time. Lord Chaitanya said, Bhakreshwar, you are like my wing. And if I had another wing like you, I could fly. Said that the Bhakreshwar Pandit. You know that, you heard that? Yeah, beautiful story. So this is Lord Chaitanya's, he's brought the spiritual world to the material world. And he's transformed the material world into the spiritual world through the chanting of the holy names. So the more we do it, the more we can experience the happiness that comes by way of devotion to the Lord. Okay. Yes, more questions? I guess that's the purport of my whole statement. We can have one after class, if you'd like. I could use one. I'm a little rusty. Too many lectures and not enough dancing. Yes, Mataji. Even see the children when they get into it, they have more fun than we do. Well, it's nice, but the thing is, again, back to that point, is that the instructions of the spiritual master remain the foundation of your success. So Prabhupada has given us that instruction. We have to see that in every religious movement, there is a set of principles set down by the founder that one must follow. And therefore, that's why people get confused. My movement, we do this, and your movement, and which one's right, which one's wrong. They're both right. According to the Acharya, or the founder, he gives the principle. And you follow the Acharya, you get the mercy. So Prabhupada actually said, chant 64 rounds. And the devotee said, Prabhupada, we have so much to do. How are we going to do 64 rounds? We've got other things. Prabhupada said, all right, 32 rounds. But still, they considered that too much. And then Prabhupada said, 16, no less. So there's the Acharya. He adjusts things according to time, place, and circumstance. If you follow the instructions, you get the mercy. That's the point.
When you chant, so you have to hear and then also you have to, ask the same meaning yourself and two other things going on. If you are asking something and then you seem to be hearing.
Yeah.
And how do you, is that possible? I mean, can you think of Krishna and imagine how you see the deity and at the same time hear it and at the same time ask for something?
Yeah. You can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. Yeah, people have good brains. They can do that. Sometimes people can do more than that.
Okay, I'm not hearing, but I'm doing this. Okay,
yeah, the thing is, it's called practice, right? When I watch you do computers, I get totally confused. For you, it's easy, right? Yeah. I look at you, and I say, God, what is he doing? I'll never learn this in five lifetimes, But for you, it's easy. And so, the same way, for those who are practiced, they're also have understood the not only the art, but the devotional art. It's devotional art. It's not just a technique. One is the quality, the definition of a genius, the nectar of devotion. What is a genius? That can, he can hold two opposing principles in his mind at the same time and not be, you know, confused or bewildered. Two opposing principles. Yeah, you can see how they are opposing, but at the same time, he, you know, they're not like he has to reject one or the and take the other. He can accept both. Knows how to apply both. That's a mention. Now you're asking me how. I don't know if I can answer that. But.
No, but an example that came to my mind is our principle is no mediating. There is me. How would you work?
No, that's the principle is not you can eat meat. That's a universal principle. Can't. That's simply an adjustment from the original teachings. What's an opposing principle? Yeah, the principle is simultaneously one and different. I used to know an example of that. Yeah. But to understand how to balance apparent opposing things at the same time, you know, come be able to synthesize that to something. One has to have a spiritual consciousness to do that, to see beyond the apparent contradictions and go into another realm of looking at things. Maybe.
In an odorless capsule, like odorless garlic, just take a capsule, so that I don't know what you're tasting this
one. We're getting really deep into this one now. We're getting into the Akash. Yes, please.
When God creates the material world, so he creates five different covenants, so otherwise the Jesus would not have come. The other three, the self-deception, do you remember those five covenants?
You know, I always forget those. The self-deception, the concept that I am this body, the constant, and fear, something about death also. Fear of death. There's five, you're right. I don't remember those. Yeah, those. Here's an example. Okay. You just hit the example that Brahma has to do something that is contrary to the living entity's benefit. Yeah, he's Maha. Yeah. He has to create pious and impious activities for the living entities. And therefore, he can synthesize them in the sense that pious and impious activities are both impious. Because they are still within the realm of the material energy. It's just different types of attachments, different kinds of bondage. One is bondage in a mode of goodness, and one is bondage in a mode of ignorance. Okay. Anything else on the holy name?
Sometimes How do we transcend that?
No, we don't transcend quality or even goodness. We actually use it in Krishna's service. That's all. Yeah, just like Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita of things in the three modes. You know, things in the mode of goodness, things in the mode of passion. So take the example of food. So there's food in goodness, passion, and ignorance. So Krishna says one should accept those foods in the mode of goodness, but then that's not complete. One has to offer them, and then they become prasad. So like that. So, but we can, one cannot take foods in the mode of passion and offer them, because that's unacceptable. So the quality of goodness makes everything, what we say, offerable. Charity in the mode of goodness, determination in the mode of goodness, these things allow. See, goodness is a stepping stone to transcendence, whereas passion and ignorance keep one very much locked up in two activities: destructiveness. Ignorance is destructive. Passion is selfish. Goodness is selfless. Yeah, the activities in the mode of goodness are selfless. Yeah, Krishna told Arjuna. Yeah, exactly. Krishna told that to Arjuna: be situated in goodness. And passion and ignorance, you're doing a lot of things, but you're not really getting much out of it. So, passion doesn't simply mean we have a perception of what passion means. Passion means pretty much something that is self-centered. Now, goodness also can be self-centered, but at the same time, and it can be offered. Well, you can't offer passion generally. Krishna doesn't accept those. And goodness can be, it comes to the point of pure goodness, Sudasattva. Thank you. Should we read another one? Don't all go to answer at once. One more? No, we can read two. This one is Nuvrindavan. Okay. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurabhani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sunyavani Pastyatya Devi Satarini. Vrindavan, Vrindavan, all covered with snow, where did all your Sarabi cows go? The green scenic pastures are covered with ice. To live in Vrindavan is not a cheap price. You know who wrote that poem? Vandini, yeah, she wrote that. She's a saint. This is a stanza from a beautiful poem written by a New Vrindavan Vrijavasi, Lalini Devi Dasi. She, like so many others, Srila Prabhupada, found the beauty of Krishna's transcendental abode here in your New Vrindavan Dham. They found your gift of transcendental reality superimposed on the hills of West Virginia. Over the years, there has been many huge arrays of souls who have spent time here serving your divine grace in a diversity of ways, and we have been blessed and have been benefited from the association of all of them. These are the souls you have plucked from the Garden of Maya to offer to Radha Vrindavan Chandra. This is your beautiful bouquet of devotees, all unique and distinctive. Well done, Srila Prabhupada. Well done. For the benefit of souls like us, you spent your years establishing places where you could find the manifestation of Krishna's pastimes. For this, we thank you. We would have happened, what would have happened to us if you had not taken the trouble to come to our shores and give us spiritual life? The processes you have given us to reach Godhead and feel His association are hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, serving, and associating with like-minded devotees. All are manifest in these holy places still, and we can fortunately take advantage of them. We know you taught us these processes so we could make advancement out of the mire of material existence. And all we have to do is follow your lead to the best of our ability. You are the kind master who loves us, and it is to our benefit to follow you. As time passes, many of us seem to drift away further from the strict process of pure devotional service you gave us. And we realize that your personal manifestation was a strengthening, attracting oasis that inspired and nourished us on our march towards the personality of Godhead. We hope to have the opportunity to have your association again at some time in the future. So here we are still, Srila Prabhupada, in New Vrindavan, doing our best and hoping that you are pleased with our endeavors and accomplishments. Please accept our humble obeisance at your lotus feet and forgive our many offenses. All glories to you. From your loving inmates of New Vrindavan, West Virginia, USA. Sweet. I spent 20 years there. It's a very unique place, special. Very special place. Prabhupada said, if you can't make it anywhere in the movement, go to New Vrindavan. He said, Kirtananda will take care of you. Can't make it anywhere else. Go to New Vrindavan. It's for the both for the lowest of the low. Very good. That's, I think that is an understanding through realization. That's true. That's right. This process is called meditation. Therefore, we have to meditate on Krishna's name. We meditate on Krishna's name. So we practice like that, keeping the mind focused. But the thing is, the mind's a rascal. It's a rascal. Now he's a rascal. It's a big rascal. And it just, the mind always has some program other than what you want it to do. So Prabhupada said, he writes it many times and he said it many times. In the morning when you first get up, beat your mind with shoes 100 times. And at night, beat your mind with boomstick 100 times. He said, if you do that, then you can possibly control your mind. So what does he mean? One devotee, he actually took that serious. He said he used to beat his mind with a pair of shoes. But that's not the idea. The idea is that first thing we do when we get up is we pay our obeisances, chant Krishna's name, and then eagerly get to the holy name to absorb ourselves in chanting. And then the mind, you know, it'll be restless at the beginning, and then gradually it starts to, you know, surrender. It's like training a barrel of monkeys. Dogs are easy to train. Monkeys are impossible. Not one monkey, but a whole dozen of them. Mind is wild. Krishna says in Gita, your mind is your best friend and worst enemy. Chanchalahi mana Krishna. Arjuna said, Chanchalahi mana Krishna. Pramati balabhadridha. Tashya hamvikramanmanye. Vayor ida saduskaram. Krishna, Arjuna, Krishna is speaking about the mind, the whole chapter. And Arjuna finally says something. He says, "My dear Krishna, you're asking me to control the mind. But I think it's like trying to control the wind. It's obstinate, unsteady, turbulent, and it's easier to control the wind than to control the mind." And Krishna answers in the next verse. What does he say? Abhyasane tukunte vairagye chigriyate. He says, "Yes, Arjuna, you are right. But it is possible with constant practice and detachment." So what does he mean by detachment? That means giving up sense gratification. To constantly practice the process and at the same time cut away those things that are unnecessary. If we're doing the positive and the negative, then the positive is practically very slow. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he had this prayer that he gave to the entire society. And he said it in the GBC meetings, he said it in the GBC in Mayapur and in front of thousands of devotees. And he said, "You make this prayer that, my dear Lord, whatever I need in order to go forward in devotional service, let that come. And whatever I don't need, let that fall away." So he was asking everyone to make that prayer. You make that prayer. Give me only what I need and take away what I don't need. If you pray like that, Krishna will do it. And it hurts sometimes. But it's good. It really hurts, because if it's some things you know, you don't expect that this is what you really don't need. And just takes it away. But you see, that's a prayer of faith. Mm-hmm. It's a prayer of faith. That one has complete faith in the process, one has complete faith in the Lord. So the other prayer is, "My dear Lord, take things away, but not too fast." You know, you took something away last year, so, you know, let's wait a little while before we take the next thing away. Yeah, that's pretty much our program, you know. Huh? Good. He's fulfilling your prayer. It's nice. Yeah, we can pray like that. Prayer is powerful. And Prabhupada said, two things make anything achievable. He said, you try for it, and you pray for it. If you simply try, it's not enough. And if you simply pray, of course, that's not enough either. You have to do both. Try and pray. They asked that to Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't recommend that. He said, just chant and hear. But then in his books, he also reads, he says, you go to the temple and you see the deity, you can fix that form in your mind. And when you chant, you can put the form of the Lord in your mind. That's nice. But the pastimes are too hard. Generally, it's very difficult. You see, the process is that the name reveals the form, the name reveals the qualities, the name reveals the pastimes. So through purification of chanting, one actually enters into the pastime level, but that's the highest. If we try to mechanically put the pastimes into our mind, we can actually do that for some time, but you find that it's really hard to remain fixed in that. Better to either try to hear the name, and if you feel inspired, establish the form in one way or another in your mind, either visually by looking at it, or through a type of, you know, previous encounter with that form, where you can picture that form in your mind. That's why we have the deities. We take a snapshot. The mind takes a snapshot, and then when we walk around, we can remember. We just reflect on that again.
And then you said, look at the deities and the feet, and if there's a flashback concentration, then you look at the face of it.
Okay.
You need to remember the face and chant and feet and chant.
No, I say you approach by the feet. When you take your darshan, and you put your gaze on the Lord's feet, then you bring your eyes up gradually, and then up to the smiling face of the Lord, and then back down to the feet again, and then you pay your obeisances. That's how you approach them. Sometimes we see people, they just, the curtains open, they just dive. Krishna. Krishna says to Radharani, where did they all go? They were just here a minute. Oh, there they are. They're down there. So when the curtains open, you greet the Lord. You greet, and then you pay your obeisances. Like you say, if you knock on somebody's door, he opens the door and what are you doing down there? You greet the person. Krishna's a person. So you greet him, of course, in a devotional way. Put your mind on his lotus feet, up to the face and down, and up in the face, something like that. You watch devotees who are, somewhat, senior, they'll do that. Generally. Prabhupada taught us like that. Here comes Krishna, okay? Go for it. And then you pay obeisance. That's the etiquette like that. And when you're looking at the deity, we've lost two of our senior members here. They're doing something. I want them to hear this point. Okay. She's very enthusiastic. Good. This is a good point, because it's held. Just like now, when you're standing there taking darshan of the deity, come back. I know you're busy, but this isn't a good one. We were just talking about greeting the deities. Yeah, when the curtains open, we focus our gaze on the lotus feet of the Lord. Bring our eyes up to the smiling face and back down to the feet, and then one pays his obeisances like that. Or one can stand there and greet the Lord like that, and do it both. And then, when you're taking darshan of the Lord, there's three things Prabhupada says you should offer to the Lord while you're taking darshan. One, you glorify the Lord. In your mind, you think of some glorification of the Lord. Two, you explain to the Lord how fallen you are. You open up your heart in a very humble way to the Lord. Well, the person who came to get you left. And the last one, well, let me tell you the third one. The last one is you ask the Lord for service. So these are three things you do when you're taking darshan. Darshan means not that you just stand there staring. There is some exchange. So, first thing, glorify the Lord. Second thing, humble expression of one's own position. And the last is, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. And this is proper consciousness of darshan. Of course, you can also observe the deities. But while you're doing that, these things are actually proper. Then that's real darshan. Haribol Mataji. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your nice points. So, that actually makes the darshan more wonderful. Because you're actually. Yeah, you can sit. Ask for service. That's it. Please, Lord, engage me in your service. And then glorification can be according to whatever you feel. Something. Think of something. And humility also accordingly. So it's a more or less your own way of expressing these three things. And that's darshan.
Not at any time. Getting back to the feet, so in front of deities and chanting, it's actually to look at the face and chant, and then once they're chanting.
Yeah, it's okay. But you don't generally stare into the Lord's face, generally. You can always look at the face of the Lord. This, what is that beautiful verse? That the face of the Lord is sweet and his body is very sweet, his face is even sweeter, but the smile on his face is the sweetest of all. Mudadam, 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 mudadam. Honey, right? Madhuram, madhuram. You know that verse? Please, Janet, it's so beautiful. It's by Dolpa Mangala Thakur. You know that verse? He just says that's the actual translation. The body of the Lord is sweet, but his face is even sweeter yet. But the smiling is on his face is the sweetest of all. Madhuram, madhuram. Something madaram, 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 madaram. Madaram, 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 madaram. It's really a beautiful melody, also. That's a different one, but that's also nice, yeah. And that's from Bhagavatam. Yeah, that's also nice. Yeah, he sings this one, yeah. Akila Vadudam. But this other verse is from Chaitanya, it's from what is that verse? What did I just say? God, it's spaced out. The Bhagavad Mangala Thakur, Krishna Karnamrita. That's the Krishna Karnamrita, which is Lord Chaitanya said. That and the Brahma Samhita are the two topmost scriptures that glorify the characteristics and past qualities of the Lord. Beautiful verses. Okay, so maybe we can. Anything? Any last points? Okay, we can stop. Maybe have a little kirtan. 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days.
Can you ask for when you chant, you say feeling in your service, and can you ask for other things too? Engaging in Vaishnava service?
Yeah. Prabhupada says, writes, wherever, actually, Vishwanatha Chakravarti said, of course, says, wherever there's a prayer, there's a request for a benediction. Wherever there's a prayer, there's a request for a benediction. But the question is, what is the nature of that request? It should be in line with something devotional. It's not like, please make my car start, you know. let me get good marks on my exam. Please make this guy who's bothering me go away, Krishna. It's not exactly the kind of prayer you want to make to the Lord. The prayers we make is something that will add to our, please Lord, let me help to appreciate your name more, let me chant better rounds. As she was saying, let me somehow or other develop humility. These are all wonderful prayers. Things that help us in our spiritual life. Please make the prasadam taste good. Please don't let them burn the doll again. Something like that. You know, I mean, you'd be surprised the variety of prayers that Krishna gets. You wouldn't believe it. That's why he doesn't deal directly as well as his secretaries to deal with all that. Srupa Damodara Goswami would screen anything that came to Lord Chaitanya, because he didn't want to bother the Lord with all this stuff. If no one could approach Lord Chaitanya with anything directly, they would have to go through Srupa Damodara Goswami. And when, if he approved of it, then he would present it to Lord Chaitanya. That was Govinda, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We just told that story the other day. Yeah. It was a beautiful story. The story I told about when all the people were. Yeah. Yeah, he ate the whole, and it was like, there was a month's supply of prasadam in that room. We were using that as to illustrate that in every incarnation of the Lord always does something that only the Lord can do. Even in Chaitanya Leela, we see that. Although the Lord was in the mood of a devotee, still he would perform superhuman acts. Like that. In which one? In Bhagavata? Or Krishna Karnamrita? Go ahead and read it. You see.
Maturam, maturam, vapurasya, vipo, maturam, maturam, vadanam, maturam, madhukam, vipo, smithi, metadahu, maturam, 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 maturam. O my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, and his face is even sweeter than his body, but his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still.
Thank you. Krishna makes the word sweet seem bitter. He redefines it. Honey becomes only a projection of the best, but never really can hit the mark. Nothing can compare to Krishna. Krishna is beyond all this, but we get some little understanding of some material examples. Okay. We can you're all so nice. I feel like speaking yet, but my false ego will get bigger and bigger, so we better have kirtan. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, what time is the breakfast? The TT is for breaking.